Before we get started, I just wanted to let you guys know that this episode is brought to you by Work It Clinic, now open in California and Michigan. Get treatment from your living room. Work It Clinic provides online counseling, online evidence-based lessons that help you live without drugs and medication-assisted treatment like Suboxone when needed. Your Work It program can be done together with the 12 steps or as a standalone solution. Get help at home. Visit workithealth.com/dopey now to sign up or just to get more info. Again, that's workithealth.com/dopey. Thank you, Work It Health. Check it out.
Work It Out.
Chris, I thought you liked Work It Health.
I love Work It Health.
I heard you peruse the website.
I peruse their blogs, and I apologize for farting during the ad last time.
Nobody even mentioned that.
Nobody noticed.
Nobody even mentioned that.
I don't know. It was really quiet. You couldn't really hear it.
And now back to the show. Hello, and welcome to Dopey, the podcast about drugs, addiction, and dumb shit. And my name's Dave.
And I'm Chris.
Thank you for listening. That's the new recording.
We're not doing the intro.
What do you think about the new recording?
We're not doing the voiceovers, though, right?
No, I got news about the voiceovers.
What?
I had set up this big thing. I had this big thing that I'd planned. I mean, a big thing.
Like a big voiceover?
Big thing. Okay. It's not a voice.
So you can't elaborate?
I don't want to, because eventually it'll get done. I don't want to ruin it for you. Oh, here's Rick. Let's hear what he has to say about the website. Real quick. Sorry, Dopey Nation. Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
You're on the show right now. We're recording. He's our new web supervisor. And what is an SSL certificate?
It's a security certificate, so people can't hack your users.
Wait, should we be talking? Hey, Rick, it's Chris.
Yeah, you should be talking about security on a live podcast.
We're talking about how we don't have security on our podcast.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fixed in 5 minutes, so unless there's hackers listening right now.
It's not a live podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
The question is, will the SSL certificate make the store run properly? And why didn't you say hi to Chris? Chris said hi, you didn't say hi.
Hi, Chris. Am I going to be on your actual podcast?
Yeah, this is it. You're on.
Okay. I have a lot of old friends in that world, so hi, friends.
Right. He's formerly clean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm on a maintenance program now, so I'm technically not clean.
Well, stay strong.
Yeah.
He's on marijuana maintenance.
Oh,
right. Yeah, marijuana's not a drug.
Whatever works.
I drink. I have a glass of wine on a holiday now.
You have a glass of sherry at Christmas time?
Yeah. That's about it. So, are you going to cut this out of your podcast?
No, we don't do that kind of work. Just tell us, will the SSL certificate work for the store or not?
It will. It's what you need. It's why it's not working. Not only that, because PayPal redirects, I have that set up, but it's working now. So, if somebody goes to your shop right now and they want to buy something, they can go to the PayPal link and it will...
Hold on.
PayPal,
so, you're saying...
Which has its own security.
Rick, you're saying... that if a member of the Dopey Nation wanted to purchase, say, a Dopey hoodie, they could go on to www.dopeypodcast.com right now, click on the store, and purchase whatever they want? Is that what you're saying?
That's absolutely correct.
There we go. All right.
Now, I have to ask you again, Rick.
A year and a half coming.
Rick, did you slight Chris on purpose, or was that just something that happened when you didn't say hello?
What? I'm sorry. He's in the background. I can barely... Chris.
He's right here. He's right
Where
up in the...
Where are you doing this podcast anyway? Is this from your new home, your new location?
No, we're at my father's apartment in Chelsea.
Okay. All right, cool.
Any other questions?
No, that's it. I didn't mean to interrupt your recording, but just letting you know what's up.
Have you listened to the show yet?
I did. Actually, as I was working on your site today, I listened to it. I listened to the last one, and I, what was his name? He was talking about David Bowie. It was kind of mind-blowing.
Oh, Matt Pinfield.
Yeah. Not only that, when I was in recovery, I met some amazing people, and I became, like, friends with them, and, like, they would take me out to eat and stuff, and that was, like, still, to this day, something to think about. I won't mention names because it's anonymity, but, yeah.
Nice.
All right, Rick, thank you very much for coming through. We'll give you some money, and it looks like the store is open. Nice work.
Yeah, it is. And we'll figure out the SSL thing, and we'll discuss that because it's a different protocol or whatever. But you can do it with PayPal, and it works totally fine.
Maybe if you have any sort of ingenuic ideas to make our site superior, we could discuss...
I tell you what, we can talk about responsive design and further customization and features to make your website pretty and shine.
All right, Rick. Thank you very much.
All right.
See ya.
Take care, Rick.
Bye-bye. Bye, Chris.
Bye. There it is.
We used,
what did you say? Ingenuic ideas?
Yeah, ingenuic ideas.
I don't think that's a word.
Ingenuic? I think it is. How do you like that? I think it is a word. Let's see. Ingenuic. Okay. Ingenuic. Yeah, ingenuic in a sentence. This is how you use it. Use ingenuic in a sentence. The definite... use ingenious in a sentence. I want to use ingenuic. Oh, maybe ingenuic isn't a word.
It's just trying to placate you. It's not a word.
How do you spell ingenuic?
I don't know. I don't think it's a word. I-N-G-E-N-U-I-C?
It's not a word. I figured it was like ingenuity in action.
All right, where are we going? What were we talking about before we started?
Well, now the store's working.
The store's working. Yeah, go get a hoodie, guys.
Now,
sorry, it hasn't been working. Well, it did work with PayPal, but it had to be like a direct transfer from PayPal.
I forgot to ask Rick.
It wouldn't process credit cards.
If he could, it would process a credit card.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're in the Dopey Nation and you want to buy a T-shirt or a hoodie, why don't you try it right now?
Yeah.
See if it works.
Yeah.
Why not? Anyway, what I was talking about was, you remember the guy who did those announcements for us?
Yeah, the voiceover did. Yeah,
so,
yeah. What's his name, Henry?
His name is Ben.
Ben.
So I had this idea to do this big thing. I was really excited about it. And it was the other morning, and I called up Ben. And I said, Ben, I have this idea. Do you think you could handle it? And he was, and he's got that voice.
Yeah.
He's like, no, Dave, I just want you to know, I'm a professional. I get paid for doing this stuff. And I said, oh, you get paid. I said, well, I just want you to know that we don't. So, like, what I'm trying to tell you is, like, when we get money, you can get money. I mean, besides the Work at Health money.
Yeah.
I said, when we get real money,
yeah,
we'll have you be the voice of Dopey.
Yeah.
He goes, Dave, I don't think that's really going to work. And I said, I don't think it's going to work either. And that's the end of Ben.
Seriously?
We're done with him.
It's
and
over?
He's done with us. Unless we want to give him money, which I certainly
isn't
don't.
Isn't he like your godfather or something?
He's not my godfather. He's my cousin's husband. And it's funny because he had gotten sober, and now he's not sober anymore. When he was sober, he was doing it for free. And now he's not sober, and he wants the cash.
Mm.
He wants to pay for his weed
habit.
Was it
a heated conversation?
No. No, I'm making it sound much more heated.
How does he sound in, like, real life? Does he sound like a voiceover guy?
Yeah, he's no. like, yeah, he does. He talks with a very deep voiceover voice.
Does he really have, like, an interesting voice?
Yes, he's very... I mean, it's interesting as, like, a game show announcer's voice is interesting. I mean, people think your voice is way more interesting than his. Do you know how many compliments I get on your voice?
Dude, we don't get compliments on my voice.
I do.
From who? We have all access to all the same mediums.
No, we don't.
We do. I mean, I don't look. It was on Twitter.
No, you life. Hear you hear things in your own personal life about the show. You reveal them from time to time.
Yeah.
So do I.
I don't believe you.
Why would I make that up? Seriously.
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would I make that up?
Somebody commented on our Bob Marley cover on Reddit.
Yeah, they said, I can't believe Chris and Dave are singing a Bob Marley song.
All right, so should we do the voice memo real quick?
No.
It's a great voice memo.
All right, do it.
You want to do it?
I just said no. Do it if you want to do it.
I think we should do it.
Oh, great.
Because we never get to them.
Well, then we're calling toast.
All right, this is...
I'm doing this to placate you.
Okay, so this Dopey Nation is from Tim from Philly. We had one other voice memo from him. His are just classic.
Two others.
Classic. Two others.
He's probably the king of the Dopey voicemail as of now.
Okay.
Tim, you're the king. King Tim of Kensington.
King Tim.
Fellas, what's going on? Tim from Philly. I'm just driving, man. I actually started listening to episode one. I don't know how. It just came on my podcast, and I just let it roll. So thought I'd give you guys a little Dopey. This story, man, it was crazy. It was a crazy experience, and I'm surprised I haven't thought of it before, but... Anyway, I was in a program called Teen Challenge. Actually, Chris, I was out in Brockton, Mass. You might even know the place. It's a very strict Christian, like, you know, boot camp program. And I had been in the program already for, like, maybe 11 months. I did 6 months up in northern Vermont, and then they transfer you down to Brockton for, like, the second phase. And so... I'm in Brockton, and I'm like sick of this program. It's like you can't watch TV. You're not allowed to talk to girls. You can't leave the place. The only time you get to leave is if you go and you fundraise. And so it's all about money there. Like, they use people kind of to do what they're best at. And because I'm good at sales, they would put me on the drug awareness team, which is basically a team that goes out and sets up in front of stores. Chris, I know you've seen them. They're at outside of Walmarts and grocery stores and Rite Aids and stuff, CVS. So I was on that team, and I actually liked that because I got to go out and, you know, be around actual people, and get the, you know, they buy you coffee and Red Bulls and stuff, and I was stealing money from the box. I had this little scam where I could kind of keep the money that people gave me and stash that away. But I'm out there. I'm out in, like, I don't know, Taunton or one of those towns out there, and this chick comes up to the box and, you know, gets to talking. I tell her what it's about. She likes it. Oh, you want some coffee? I'll go get some coffee and bring it back. So she does, and we talk, and, you know, she was hot, and I was like I said, you aren't allowed to talk to women, so this was great. And she said, well, where are you going to be next time? I'll come visit you. And I was like, cool. And she did. And this is nuts, but I don't even know how, like, it happened, but she came to the next store I was at and brought coffee, and we fucked in a car in the parking lot of the CVS that day, day two. I should have known something was up with this chick, but I was all for it. And again, I had it, you know, for 11 or whatever it was, 11 months, I hadn't been with a chick, you know, barely can beat your dick because you're surrounded by dudes and I mean, don't get it wrong. I definitely found the way to beat my dick. That's another story. I had this little method to do it while there was all these people around. But yeah, so, you know, I was horny and we fucked in the car, and it was pretty hot actually. And this chick was cool, man. I was digging her vibe. I mean, you know, the pussy definitely helped, but, you know, so she came out again in the next one I was at, and just hung out. And you know, at that point, I was so sick of the program, and I was just like, yeah, I hate it here. You know, and she's like, well, why don't you leave? She's like, come live with me. You know, that sounded like a phenomenal plan, because honestly, I just wanted to sit back on a couch and watch like cable TV, because I had it for 11 months. So, I went back to the place, told him I was leaving. She picked me up, and I felt so free. I mean, I was like this. I'll never forget it. I felt so free and relieved to be out of that program. And you know, she's like, "What do you want to do?" And I was like, "Let's get a drink." So 11 months down the drain like that, we stopped and got a couple little liquor bottles, and she like pulls out a bottle of pills, and she's like, you want one of these? And I was like, fuck yeah. I don't even know what it was. I'm like, yes. And it turned out to be Perks. So within like 20 minutes of leaving the program of 11 months, I was drinking and popping pills and hanging out with what turned out to be a prostitute. But having a blast though, like I was happy. I was loving life. And so we went back to her house. Now she tells me she lives with her parents, and you know, her parents are cool, and she's just going to tell them, I'm a friend that's in the military and I'm going to stay for a while, and they'll be cool with it. And I'm like, that's, yeah, all right. So we pull up, and we're hanging outside of her house for a little bit because we're still drinking. And next thing you know, this like black tinted Mustang like creeps by the car real slow. And I was like, what's going on? And she's like, oh shit. She's like, that's my boyfriend and he's crazy. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, and the car goes by, pulls over like, you know, maybe, I don't know, 100 feet or whatever ahead. And she's like, that's my boyfriend and he's crazy. And I'm like, what the fuck, Steph? What do you mean? Like, what is he doing here? Why didn't you tell me? And she's like, just go in the house. And I'm like, go in the house? I haven't even met your parents. I don't even know what house it is. Like, where, what do you mean? Just go, hurry. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And so I do. I get out and I run to the down the side of this house, and there's a like a hot tub there, and I'm not going in the house to people I don't even know in this crazy situation. So I just freaking duck behind the hot tub, and I sit there, and I'm like, and I can see like the street and what's going on. And so this dude comes up to her, and he's like, "What the fuck? Who the fuck?" It, first of all, it's this big ass black dude. All right, she's this like tiny little white girl. This dude's a big ass black dude, and he's pissed off, and he's screaming at her, and he's like gripping her up. "Who the fuck is that? I'll kill him." Da 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 da. I'm just sitting back there, like, and this is the sick part. I'm not even scared. I'm like giggling because like of the drama and the action. I'm just like, oh my god, this is crazy. Like I knew it was nuts, and I was like, I was just liking it. It was crazy. Like this dude's about to murder this woman, and then probably murder me if he found me. And I am just loving it. I'm just so happy to be free. And you know, the drugs have had me feeling pretty loose. And so eventually her stepdad comes out and, like, you know, tells him to get the hell out of here and whatever. So I see him, like, go to her car, and I didn't really know what was going on. But, you know, she comes out and she's like, "Yeah, I'm really sorry. You know, he's nuts. And he stole your luggage." And I was like, "He stole my luggage? What the fuck do you mean? That's, you know, like, that's all I had in life was my suitcases, two bags, whatever." I'm like, "He stole my luggage? Are you freaking kidding me? Like, I need that back, Steph. Like, that's, my life is in there." And she's like, "All right, we'll get it back. Don't worry, we'll get it back." And, you know, so we sleep, you know, we go to sleep, and her parents are cool with me staying. And it just was, you know, 2 or 3 days. She turned out to be like a nurse, like an in-house nurse. She would go and she would steal pills from every person she worked with, and she would come home, and we would fuck, and, you know, and that went on for a few days, and, like, you know, when I was loving life at this point, because, you know, it was just everything I wanted, and we were going out to eat, she had money, we were going out to nice dinners, and so we're out at this dinner, like, day 4, and we're all, you know, we're dressed up, it's this fancy dinner, drinking wine, feeling good, and I just realized at that point that this chick was absolutely insane, and I needed to get the hell out of the situation because, like, it was going to get bad. And so, like, you know, over dinner, I just look at her. I said, "Steph, I need to go back." She's like, "What? What the fuck do you mean you need to go back? What, you just going to leave me? What do you mean you got to go back?" And then I knew she was crazy, and I knew that I had to, like, think quick because otherwise this shit was going to get bad. And I just... like, I came up with this thing. I was like, "You know, if you want this to work between us, you got to let me get better. Like, I need to get well for you." And she fell for it, of course. And I ended up going back to Teen Challenge, like, with my tail between my legs. And, you know, they let me back in, but I got put on this, like, restriction. I was in the kitchen for, like, a month in the dish pit, you know, washing pots and pans for a month. And, it was miserable, man, but that experience was actually, like, I don't know, it was kind of fun. I wouldn't take it back. It was one of those times that, like, I knew it was wrong and it was bad, but I liked it. And so I actually have another, I'll wait for another day to tell you my Laguna Beach story, because that shit's crazy too. But anyway, guys, you know I'm bringing that dopey for you, the things we do on drugs, man. All right, fellas, I hope you guys are doing well. Yeah, peace out, man. Stay strong, Dopey Nation.
Tim, amazing.
He's a classic.
I'm telling you.
The best voice memo.
There's voicemail memos, and then there's Tim's voicemail memos. Yeah, it's so like most of the time, and I apologize to everybody else, but I go to sleep during the fucking voice memos.
But you pay attention during his.
Tim's, it's like it's a show within the show.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation that is emotionally fraught, dangerous, something like that, and you're not taking it seriously, just kind of giggling? Like that attitude when he was, like, hiding behind the hot tub and the girl's boyfriend was there, and it was, like, escalating, and he's just kind of giggling?
Yeah. I mean, I can think of it. I mean, my memory's so bad. That's one of the reasons that I don't come with the stories that good, because my memory's terrible. But I remember, like, when I got arrested... whenever I got arrested, I would, like, start, like, making jokes to the cops, like, "Oh, this is going to go really bad." I'd be like, "I'm fucked now," or I'd say something stupid, just because it's, like, It's that moment.
It's happening.
But it's between the thing and the consequences. It's this one space.
I would do that. Sometimes I would mouth off, but then I would, if I was in the back of a cop car, I'd like try to get him to laugh, and it would like work sometimes. Because I was like, it's already happening. Do you know what I mean?
That's
like,
when the great people pleaser within really comes out to play.
Yeah, but it's also just like kind of like, might as well have some fun with this. I had that the giggling thing in jail when riots were about to happen. I would get like excited and want the riot to happen. And it's that drama that he's talking about. You like feed off the drama.
Well, I think it has to do with, and I want to get back to Tim's story, but it has to do with also, I think as an addict, it's like boredom is so difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
And excitement is the great remedy for boredom.
Oh, yeah.
So when something's going to happen, it's like, thank God something's happening. At work the other day, I'm working and the lights went out. For a split second, and I was like, yeah. I was like, something terrible is going to happen. And one of the managers goes, what just happened?
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. I was like, but I want it to happen again.
Oh, my God. I remember going in, being in jail and going to chow hall, like when I was in the barracks, right, where you actually like walk to go get like food and stuff. And we'd be walking to get food, and like there would be a fight that like broke out, right? And they'd like freak out. Everybody get on the floor. You know, there's literally like hundreds and hundreds of inmates, and you're laying down, and like your like head might be on top of another person because you have to instantly get down, and they start firing like the little like paintball. It's like paintballs full of like that stuff that like not tear gas, but like the pepper spray, like pepper balls, right? And I'd be laying there, and they're firing these things off, and, like, they're screaming, and there's just fucking guards, you know, running around everywhere. And I'd just be thinking, this is great. I love this.
Because it's like it's a break of that boredom.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, in the beginning, I mean, and anything that's different is incredibly desired, I think. Yeah. You know, is that human nature or is that addict nature?
I don't know. But I think it's probably human nature, but addicts take it to the next level.
But with Tim's voicemail, because I want to talk about it while it's fresh in my mind.
Yeah,
I didn't understand a few things.
You always have to critique it and pick it apart. You were curious about his wardrobe. Where did he get his new clothes?
Well, so he's with the girl's a prostitute.
Okay, so he's doing. I always forget. I don't know if is it team challenge or teen challenge. I think it's team challenge. It's like this. You know what that is? It's like this kind of like very Christian based recovery.
I think
program.
It's teen.
I thought it was teen too, but it's not. It's for adults.
So it's team.
But then there's kids. I think there might be. I don't know. But whatever. Anyways, it's like super Christian based, and it's like pretty strict. And so they were having him, like, raise money for it in, like, plazas or
I understood
like that.
That, but that's not my
he
question.
He meets this chick, you know.
I understood
okay,
that
you
part.
Got that. All right.
Do you think I didn't understand any of the
what
story?
What don't you get?
Okay. First of all, he didn't know the chick was a prostitute.
Yeah.
The chick turns out to be a prostitute.
I think that was, like, her side gig. I mean, she's a nurse, so she's making money. She's an in-home nurse.
And she's a prostitute on the side.
Yeah, it's her side gig.
And she gets high. She's an addict.
Yeah.
So
I don't even think she's like a prostitute.
So why do we call her a prostitute?
Well, because she probably like meets the definition, but she's not like a street walking hooker.
You mean she meets the definition in that she gets
probably
paid
because
for
she
sex.
Does drugs and she's done some shady shit.
So she's not really
ran around with girls like women like that. Like,
but you wouldn't call them prostitutes unless they took money for sex. Why would you call someone a prostitute? Unless
it's like
her money?
Livelihood isn't from prostitution, so it's a little different, you know. But she's probably still a prostitute in like, you know, but not in the traditional sense of.
Let's stop this conversation. How many people do you know that were seemingly average, normal, run of the mill people, but occasionally turn tricks for money?
When I was using, I would go on runs with women, and one in particular, and like that's what she was. She sounds like this woman.
So she wasn't a prostitute.
But I wouldn't be
by
like
day.
You wouldn't even call her a prostitute, but she's just probably like done stuff for drugs
in a pinch.
Yeah, or when she's like on a run, you know, like she had like a kid and was like from like an upper middle class family, you know what I mean? And then you go on a run, and it's like you know you piece together and make it work any way you can.
Right.
You know.
Right. No. So I've read. I've never been in that situation.
Yeah.
Have you?
Well, where I needed to sell my body for drugs?
Yeah.
No, but I was in Pasadena once, and this guy pulled up in a van, and I had ran out of treatment. And I was on Colorado Boulevard on the side of the road, and Pasadena has like some shitty areas.
It's amazing your memory. Up, it amazes me. How do you remember the street?
I really remember this. Oh, well, it's like one of the main like roads.
I lived in LA for 6 years. I don't remember any of the streets.
Or was it Fair Oaks? No, it was Colorado.
Okay.
And he pulled up and like he wanted to get me in the van, in his van. He was mm-hmm. like, "Hey, you want to come in?" And like it was clear, like he knew I was like, you saw how I used to look. You know, I looked like a junkie. I looked really fucking haggard. You know, and so he wanted me to get in his van with him. And it's just some random dude, and he probably thought like he could give me money. You know what I mean? In exchange for sex or for some sort of act. And I remember being like, I'm gonna go in his car and rob him. You know what I mean? And just, like beat him up, strong arm, take his money.
That was your plan?
I thought about it, and then I didn't do it.
So tell me the plan.
It really wasn't
so then what that. Happened?
And
so
then I was like, mind, nah. I was like, nah. I just said, nah. I was like, nah.
In your mind, it's seeing permutations.
But I remember thinking, like, I could maybe, like, beat him up.
For a second, you're like, I can suck his cock and maybe get some money for meth. And then the next second, you're like, wait
no,
a second.
I'm
not
going to
suck his cock. Maybe I'll beat
that
his head against the steering wheel and take his phone. And then it's like, maybe I'll just walk away.
No, my favorite is, and the last reunion I went to, this place called Plymouth House, and there's a guy named Kevin in there. Everyone called him Kev. He was from South Boston. He was a really fucking tough kid, right?
Uh-huh.
And he was crazy. And he, like, you know, he ended up going to California and ended up on Skid Row in L.A., you know, like 5th and Broadway, whatever, around there, 7th San Julian. And he was telling me, he's like, yeah, he's like, there's all these like kids like turning tricks. Do you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. sucking dick for crack and stuff like that. And he's like, and I'd go into like whatever, like Marshalls or whatever the equivalent is and boost stuff and sell it. And he's like, and all these kids would be like, oh, Kevin, you're crazy. And he's like, I'm crazy. He's like, you're sucking dick for crack. You know? And that was, and I love this kid because he was from Boston. And I was like, that was one of my lines. I was like, I don't think I would ever cross that line. No.
I had my lines were totally shallow lines. Like if I didn't have cable, I'm like I'm not getting high. I'm going away. I'm going to treatment.
Well, but Tim, when he said he's like you're in treatment for 11 months, and all you're like is I want a couch and cable. He was just so happy. That's all he wanted. You know.
Let's get back to this story for a second. This is the thing I didn't understand. So fine, she's an occasional prostitute who's also a nurse who does drugs. I get it. The boyfriend shows up. Steals Tim's luggage. And then Tim's like, stays?
Yeah, he stays.
But how does that happen?
What do you mean? The boyfriend leaves.
Why does it, with his luggage? He's like, all right, Stacy, I'm taking this guy's shit.
Her stepfather came out and made the boyfriend leave, he said.
And then he ushered Tim into the house.
I guess. And then Tim came in.
And then
the fam.
4 days later, at a fancy restaurant with, what, the stepdad's clothes maybe,
then
Tim?
The team challenge stuff started working on him.
He realizes Stacy is crazy.
He realizes this is in a bad place.
And he goes back to team
Haven't
challenge.
Haven't you done that? I've done that some, like, ran out of treatment, gone on a fucking killer run, motels, getting high, and then it gets hard after a few weeks, and I think back to the rehab, which I hated and so desperately wanted to go, and think,
and you miss
I'd
it.
Give anything to go back
I
to
miss
that.
My friends in treatment.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't ever, no, yeah. Not for me. Because yeah. I didn't use like you did.
Yeah.
When I left treatment, I would go to wherever I lived, and I would figure out how to get into my routine. My routines were
yeah,
very...
Yeah, you were like the turtle.
My routines were... I was all about my routines. And my routines, like, were pretty comfortable.
You set up your life where you could do it for a bit.
For extended... Yeah. And it's not...
We were total opposite ends of the spectrum.
It doesn't make me a good person. Because I also became such a horrible... I was a horrible junkie. Like, you would do runs. I was, like, living in the fucking, you know... In that forever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm talking about, I would wake up, I would go to down to 6th and Broadway,
yeah.
I would buy one bag or two, because all I had was $10.
Yeah.
So I'd buy two balloons.
Yeah.
I'd come home, it's still dark,
yeah.
It's not even dawn. I would shoot the two bags. I would, like, watch an episode of Lost. I would, like, punch myself in the head. I would take, like, 4 Klonopins,
yeah.
And I'd catch a knot.
And then you do the same
thing
next day.
Then I'd doze off. Then I'd wake up, and then I would walk to the methadone clinic. So I would get high pre-methadone.
Yeah.
And then I would get my dose, and then I'd go about my day. And then the next morning, I would do it again. I'd wake up at 4 in the morning or something to get high.
Oh, my God.
And then I would have, like, a little period before my girlfriend woke up, alone in the house, you know,
yeah.
Watching TV before the sun came up kind of thing.
What, do you think it's business as usual down there still right now?
I really would love to know.
Is there anybody from L.A.? Is Skid Row still like it was 15 years ago?
I remember when I left, it was... I remember...
Isn't that crazy? That was like 15 years ago. A little less for me, probably more for you, right?
I left California in 2008.
Yeah.
And so that's 10 years ago.
Don't you think Skid Row is kind of like Hamsterdam?
Very much.
Because it's just like, if it's still like that, it's like... They clearly were just like out of sight, out of mind. You know, they occasionally bus people, but it's like they
it was just like let the, it happen. It was that open container policy kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I remember as I was leaving, there was a bunch of gentrification things that were happening in Skid Row. And Skid Row was really east of Spring, east of the next one. So Skid Row wasn't really bad until you hit to St. Julian.
Yeah.
And then I would always cop between Broadway and Spring, where it was much safer, you know,
closer to the bums.
No. And there was like a little bakery. I had my little routine. I would go to the bakery. I would buy a cup of coffee. Then I would walk down to Spring, and I would stand at this mailbox, and I'd always have a paperback book, so it looked like I was busy. I would lean on the mailbox reading with a little cup of coffee.
How many people are reading?
I was the only one. I'd be the only one. I'd be reading my paperback and sipping my light and sweet coffee, maybe munching on a churro on 6 between Broadway and Spring.
This is more like a cop.
Well, that was the thing. And this, I did this every time. And then one, and then as it got...
Do you remember any of the books that you had?
I would just read junkie books. I'd be like the Basketball Diaries or whatever. Yeah. Those books. I would only read those books.
It wasn't like Alice in Wonderland or The Hobbit or something?
Never. No, it was always like a memoir or a rock and roll book or a drug book or something like that.
Yeah.
But as my time there shortened, there were always busts, like because it was changing. And I think it was the last time I went down there. It was like full blown, everyone's getting busted. And I'm standing there with my book, and they're not coming after me because I'm reading a book. And I was like near the bus stop, you know, and I'm like watching.
There was a lot of people getting arrested.
Yeah.
Well, I just remember being down there, and people would be, and like they tried to hide it, you know what I mean, and do it quickly. But it would be like people would be doing drug deals, and cops would be driving by. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would literally be like the cop would be driving by and they would be doing it.
The truth is I really didn't understand that culture. Like, I really, like,
it's
in New
scary.
York.
It is a little
in New
scary.
York, it was like literally, it's
New York doesn't have, like, an area, like, they wouldn't allow that. I feel like that was allowed. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it was just, like, constant dealing, hooking homeless people, and they're just like, oh, we'll arrest people every once in a while, but it doesn't, they weren't trying to stop it, you know?
Fuck that, man. In New York, you can go to Avenue D in some very serious nook and cranny situation or go out to Bushwick or go, you know, I never copped in the Bronx, but I'm sure there are streets in the Bronx where it's like that. In Los Angeles, it's like roving gangs of orphan Mexicans who are shipped over the border just to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like roving gangs of orphan Mexicans with fucking bundles in their mouths.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's like, I've never seen anything like that anywhere. But I bet Kensington's worse.
Yeah.
Where do the Mexicans come from in Kensington?
I don't know anything about Kensington. All I know is from what we've heard from the Dopey Nation members.
We just got this, this Facebook message from somebody who goes, I wish you hadn't told me about Kensington.
Really?
Did you see that?
What, they want to go there?
They went. Hold on, it's fine.
Oh, my God. Dude, I remember Skid Row. I went down there. I drove there from Orange County with my girlfriend who had a white Porsche. It was a Boxster, but she had a Porsche. And we drove down there. And I was like, just stay in the car. And we parked like right around there. I was like, put your seat back and lock the doors. And she just stayed in the thing. And then I came back and there was like two or three people outside her car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Todd, fucking every day he was willing to take me.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Todd. It'd be like 5 in the morning if he was up all night smoking meth. I'd be like, let's go. And like once a week, he'd be excited to go. Like 3 days a week, I'd have to drag him out of his bed.
Yeah.
And then 2 days, I would like steal his car and go myself.
Yeah.
But we would go down there and we would look like undercover cops, like sipping the coffee in the car. And but then all the fucking orphan Mexicans would run up to the car and be like, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was like, It was the easiest copying in the history of copying.
Yeah.
Literally. Now, I want to read this really quickly. Really quickly. But I'm not going to be able to find it. I'm not going to be able to find
it. This is dead air, Dave.
Dead air. Fuck it. I don't know. Some dude who was talking about Kensington, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Forget it. Forget all that. I have notes, and I have a phone call. What
Read
do you
me
want to
a
do?
Note. Read me one note, and then let's do the phone call.
I got so many notes that we haven't...
Read me a good one.
Do you want to hear a stupid one or a good one?
Read me a stupid one and a good one.
Have you ever considered... It's so stupid, I'm not going to say it.
What? Say it. You can't do that.
Okay. Like, the difference between drinking and drowning. And I don't mean drinking alcohol. I mean drinking water. Have you ever drank water so quickly that you know if you stop drinking, you'll drown?
Have I ever drank water so quickly that I know if I stop drinking, I'll drown?
Like,
well, the difference here, Dave, is that when you drink, it goes down your esophagus. And when you drown, it goes down your trachea.
Isn't it amazing, though, that there's a mental
there's a
switch
that, goes
that makes sure that you're either drinking or drowning?
That is pretty cool. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
All right, that's one note. another note. Okay.
Was that a bit? Like, what was that we just had?
It was just a thought. It was a thought from one of my classic thoughts. I have this other thing that's pretty funny, but... Okay. 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I'm with my daughter, okay? She has a play date. And the girl that she has a play date with, whenever she comes to our house, she's half Japanese, and her mother... always brings a gift for me and Linda. She brings a box of cookies.
Okay. The so, mom is Japanese.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to her house, and Linda goes, you got...
Are they Japanese cookies?
No.
Okay.
They were amazing cookies,
Japanese
actually.
Cookies are not very sweet.
They were cookies called Everything But The Sink. And these cookies had everything. Peanut butter.
It was like what
chip,
you tried to make at the
pretzels,
Hershey's factory.
Pretzels. Fucking... They were amazing cookies. Yeah. Anyway, so Linda's like, you got to make sure you bring cookies over there.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I can do that. And then Linda goes, just bring these. And she holds up this box of cookies we had, one of these big Costco tubs. That's like, yeah. I said, Linda, it's opened. You bring that. And she's like, what? She goes, put it in a plastic bag. I was like, they bought us new cookies every time. I'm not bringing that garbage thing of cookie. And
they're like Kirkland cookies.
Yeah, they were. They were like the mini chocolate chip from Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm not bringing those. And I was like, I'll figure it out. So me and my daughter go to the deli. And I decided I'm going to buy double chocolate Milano's, which is
pretty good. Yeah.
It's an amazing cookie.
It's a good cookie.
You know it's a really amazing cookie?
What?
Brussels.
Yeah, Brussels are good. I like the samplers. I'll get the samplers.
You get the sampler?
I don't mind it.
The big one?
Yeah.
The tin?
Yeah, I mean, they got some...
spicy meat.
They got some stuff in there that's not great with no chocolate, you know?
What? The Bordeaux?
Is that what they are?
The sugar cookie.
And then there's also like a butter cookie or something.
Yeah. Those are good, though.
They're all good.
You know what's really good is the butter cookie with a little piece of the 60% cacao. And you put that together.
Yeah. You love adding the cacao to things.
Anyway, so we go to the deli. Yeah, I really do. I mean, or a fucking Bordeaux with a little cacao on the side.
Bordeaux with a twist of cacao.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Okay, so you go to the deli.
We go to the deli.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay.
We should have got some arugula.
We're going to get the double chocolate. I'm just not going to let that go. We're going to get the double chocolate Milano's, okay? And I go, and this deli, it's like, it's the local deli. It's right there on the outskirts of town, and I've gone there for years.
Is it the one on the corner?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
You can walk there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And but we drove there because we're on the way to the friend's house, and I go there because there's a woman there. Her name is Barbara.
Yeah,
and she's known my name since I visited.
Yeah.
Hey Dave, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hey Barbara,
so
I'm good.
You feel important. You feel liked.
There is nothing like a deli where they know your name.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck. Do you have a deli where they know your name?
No.
Oh, my God. Linda used to live in Astoria, and I found a deli where I'd be like, I went in and I went, hello, my name's Dave. I like my coffee light and sweet. So the next morning, hey, Dave, you like, You want a coffee?
That's nice.
I love all that shit.
I don't have one place that knows my name. I do have people I'm friendly with and see on the street at the market across from me, but we don't know each other's names.
Does Frank know your name?
Frank knows my name.
What does he say?
I've been avoiding Frank.
What does he say?
I haven't talked to him in months. I turn left instead of right at the exit.
Well, what does he say, though?
He says, "What's up, Chris? When are you going to post that? Let me get the podcast."
What's up with Lonely Space?
Yeah.
Anyway,
all right.
So I'm in the deli. And Barbara's not there. And they are so slow in this fucking deli. And you can wait for 20 minutes because it's like a deli that's like cooking stuff. Like, I want a bacon, egg, and cheese. I want French toast. I want a turkey club with provolone, blah, blah. You know, it's like that. You know, so you're just waiting. And we're running late. And all I want to do is buy the box of fucking cookies. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And some woman goes in front of me. And I'm like, insane. Yeah. I'm like, you see the line goes over here.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said that. And she goes, what? She goes, oh, be my guest.
Yeah, and I said, like an idiot.
I said, no, no. I said, please.
You go.
and she goes, no. And I said, okay, fine, thank you.
Yeah.
And I buy the cookies. And then the woman says, it's $3.59. I just gave you $5.
To Barb.
No, Barbara wasn't there.
Oh.
Some girl.
You had given her and she forgot that she...
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there. I just cut the woman in line.
Yeah.
I had waited there for 20 minutes. I had given her $5. And then she says, $3.59. My daughter, my sweet daughter, is standing there. I said, I just fucking gave you $5.
Yeah.
She says, no, you didn't.
What did you say?
And I'm just standing there. Yeah. The woman's behind the counter looking at me. Nora's looking at me.
Yeah.
The woman I cut is staring at me. The people behind... I mean, it's very small.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there. I just accused the girl...
Did you just pay again?
I just accused the girl of stealing $5 from me. And all the permutations are running through my head.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do is say, bitch, I just gave you $5 fucking dollars. Yeah. Are you fucking high?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
But...
And that's coming up.
Yeah.
Those words are rising. And I just gave her another $5.
What's the right thing to do?
I gave her the other $5. And I felt, I'm like sweating.
Yeah.
I'm like insane.
Yeah.
And I get in the car and we drive to the Playdate.
And that was it?
Yeah.
Kind of. I knew junkies that used to do, they'd buy like a couple dollars worth of stuff and they'd give somebody a 10 and then they would get the change and they'd say, I gave you a 20.
Right.
And then they would be like an issue, or they'd bring the manager over, usually like a fast food joint. And then they would be like, count the register, and they usually won't count it. They'll just give you the change.
Right. Well, I felt like that the clerk was pulling the scam on me.
No, I think the girl was just playing an idiot.
I think I was just insane.
Do you think maybe you didn't give her the $5?
Yeah, of course. Maybe I didn't give her the $5.
It's possible?
Yeah, of course. I have no idea.
See, I would pay $10 just to avoid a scene like that.
But it's like, what it was, it was this build of pressure.
Yeah.
You walk in, and you're on this very long line, and you're late. There was something else I had to do.
Yeah.
And then I was so indignant. Like, how could there be a line in a deli?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, I lost it. And like, but it really just spoke to me about, like, addiction, sanity, recovery.
Does Barb know that you commute an hour and a half to work at a deli?
I don't think so.
You should tell her.
I think I might have told her. Yeah, people don't understand that.
All right, should we read an email now?
If that's what you want to do.
Are you game for that? I don't want to do something unless you want to do it.
I totally want to do it.
You totally want to do it?
I totally want
to. You seem like you're fading, man.
No, I'm not fading at all.
Right. Well, Graham, make sure we've been getting critiques on our audio quality.
Yeah, actually, that's what I want to do really quickly. I put out a call to the Dopey Nation asking, as you did, asking for questions, comments, shout-outs, or otherwise. And
should we do one on each? I mean, we did that like 10 minutes ago.
What did we do?
We just put the call out. Should we let them roll in a little bit more?
No, I'm going to read one. I just said I was going to read one.
How about this? You read one from your medium, from Twitter, and I'll read one from Instagram. And the opposite person answers.
Well, this is, first of all, this is super big Dopey fan, Twitter follower and Instagram follower, Caitlin Ocean. And she asks for a shout out to Caitlin Ocean on from Twitter and Instagram because hey, she Caitlin, loves us. Say what's up.
Hey.
Hey, Caitlin. Caitlin's got her picture is a big picture of herself eating spaghetti. Look, that's her picture.
Oh, Caitlin just asked it something on Instagram.
What'd she ask you?
She said she asked you, because I'm not going to be able to answer this, if you were a Peanuts character, which one would you be? Snoopy's? I don't even know who's in.
Snoopy is in the Peanuts.
He's the dog.
Yeah, Snoopy is the dog. If I was a Peanuts character, you know, a lot of things. This is a very deep question for me because I am a big fan of Peanuts. And the truth is, I would love to be Schroeder, who was the cool piano player that Lucy loved. And I would pretend that I would be Pigpen, who's filthy, and wherever he goes, there's a cloud of dirt following him around. But the truth is, I'm Charlie Brown, the loser, who complains about
Isn't
everything.
Isn't Charlie Brown the star, though?
But he's the neurotic.
You'd have to be the star, don't you?
Ask anybody.
You'll settle for nothing less.
But it's like, you don't know Peanuts, but I would say I'm either Pigpen or Charlie Brown.
I got a good one here.
Yeah.
What's the furthest you've ever traveled for the purpose of copping?
Yeah.
Here you go.
You want me to answer? What's the furthest I've traveled to cop?
I have by foot. I got off in Penn Station once.
You just asked me to answer. You're answering.
Right, you go ahead.
No, please.
No, you go.
Please.
I defer.
No, you're going to start talking again.
Okay, so I got off when I ran out of rehab and I ran out of the place in Lena Lodge. I made my way to Penn Station.
Yes.
And I walked from Penn Station to 120th and Lex.
Why? Because that was where you knew you could cop?
Mm-hmm.
Up to Lexington 125. Yep. Feel sick and dirty, more dead than alive.
Yeah. That's by foot. And for the people not in Manhattan, what is that, like 3 or 4 miles?
It's 5 miles.
Yeah.
5 miles.
Yeah.
And by car?
By car. Not too far. Because whenever I never had a car. You know, when I had a car, I was like living in a city and I just would drive to the other part of the city. But then I ended up in rehab somewhere.
Farthest I ever traveled to cop, you know, it was very rare that I traveled anywhere to cop.
Yeah.
You know, farthest I traveled to cop, what I used to do, and we did this a few times, is when things got bad, I had this idea in my head that we would lamb it up to the house my parents have upstate.
Yeah.
And we would go up there. It was either me and my friend Dave went up there.
Oh, you went with Todd.
And me and Tom went up there.
You snorted like a Skalaxin or something.
No, that was with Dave.
Oh.
That was with Dave. But when I went there, I think I went there with my parents.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell them I was in withdrawal or anything.
Yeah.
And went up there. And I think 2 days in, I was like a mess.
Yeah.
And Todd is from up there. He's from a town over, two towns over.
Yeah.
So I called Todd and I asked him to drive me home.
Yeah.
And I had to bribe him I had to buy him the Velvet Underground box set. And and he drove me home. So it was like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Or 4 hours.
Yeah.
To cop. And I remember.
Did he bring you back or did he leave you here?
I didn't want to go back.
Oh.
I was just going there to get clean.
Yeah. How'd you get out there?
I went with my parents.
Oh, okay.
So I remember we were driving back, jonesing. Like a fiend, you know?
You and Todd, or?
He wasn't sick. I was sick.
Yeah.
And our dealer was named KK. And I remember we were crossing into Westchester at, like, Tarrytown. And KK lived in the Bronx, and it usually took him 40 minutes to get to my apartment. So we were an hour outside of Manhattan, and I remember it was a starry night, a summer's night, starry night. And we were an hour away, and I called him. At Tarrytown, and he was like, I'll be there in an hour. And I was like, yeah. Because I knew that when we got, no matter, we were a little further than him.
Yeah.
So there was no chance, you know, that
you weren't going to have to wait long.
No. And I think we got there at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he brought a gram. Like, you know what I mean? It's so rare. It was like one of those big chunks. It wasn't bags.
You never see that.
No, you never see that.
Wow.
See my eyes? That I remember just the feeling of being in the car and getting him on the phone and knowing all my problems were going to be solved.
What's the furthest you ever traveled for a meeting?
Furthest I ever traveled for a meeting, not far. You know, wherever's closest.
Yeah, whatever's convenient.
Whatever's convenient. This morning I went to a meeting.
Did you?
Yeah, it's interesting.
In Long Island?
No, I went here.
Did you go to Hazelden?
No, I went down the street. I went to the closest meeting available on this block.
Yeah.
On the block.
Oh, wonderful.
It was fucked up because I haven't been going to meetings. I've been just going to my book study every week. And I was like, I should start going to some meetings. Like, I've been working this new job, and like, it's kind of like low impact and not a lot of action.
Yeah.
And I'm bored. And I get really nervous. Like, this is something I was thinking about today. I'm sitting around, and I get really nervous, and I'm really bored. And I feel all these kind of classic drug addict feelings, like, I'm a failure, I'm a fraud, things aren't happening fast enough, nothing's happening.
Classic cognitive distortions.
And I got really scared. And I was like, I'm going to be here all day. Yeah. And, like, I want to watch TV or I want to do something. And I was like, I can go to a meeting.
Yeah.
And I went to a meeting, and it was a decent meeting. And the second, you know, the speaker started to tell her story, I felt better. I felt like everything was okay. I was like, why am I bugging out? Yeah. You know what I mean? All I have to do is chill.
Of course.
You know, Chris never really vocalizes this, but Chris's philosophy of life is really in tune with recovery. It's really irritating sometimes the way it comes across.
Is it?
But yeah, your slogan. Explain. Your slogan. It's whatevs.
It's whatevs.
It's whatevs. Yeah. What that says is everything's okay. Everything's fine. It's whatevs, man.
It's all about the present.
It's whatevs. It's amazing. And I'm sitting in the meeting, and I'm like, oh, when is this bitch going to start talking? Look at all these losers. And then she starts talking, and this calm comes into my brain. And I hear this voice, and it says, it's whatevs, man.
Do you really think, look at all these losers?
Yeah, there are a bunch of losers over there. Fucking old and ugly people. I go to AA in New York, I want the hot meeting, you know?
Yeah. No, there's some weird people in meetings here. Some really weird people.
What, there aren't weird people in meetings in Boston?
No, see, Boston's a different element. Where there's, like, depends where you go, but there's, like, this sort of, like, old... Boston's much more, like, homogeneous than New York City is. And there's, like, kind of this, like, male sort of tough guy, old line Boston sort of thing that, like...
Like the Departed guy.
Yeah, sort of. Kind of like that, but, like, not as, like, gangster. But
can,
like,
you talk like that?
No. They just try to be, like, tough guys. I don't know. There's that element. Do you know what I mean? And then there's sort of like a professional element. In New York City, there's just kooky, crazy motherfuckers.
Well, you have to understand that the meeting that I went to, my father basically lives in a senior citizen like building.
Yeah.
And it was in one of the buildings in the senior citizens buildings.
Yeah.
So it was just a bunch of like poor senior citizens from the buildings that I grew up in.
Yeah.
At the meeting.
Yeah.
You know? The meeting I go into Long Island, it's like the shtick is so thick out there. Because they all, okay. The guy who runs the meeting, I shouldn't say his name, but the way they say his name is so funny that I'm just going to do it. His name is Damon, okay? Yeah. And he's a Unitarian Universalist minister.
Yeah.
And the meeting is basically me and like 7 6-year-old women. And the women all talk like this. Damon, what do you think about your higher power? And Damon goes, well, what do you think about your higher power? And the woman goes, Damon, I'm really more of a vodka drinker, and I'm not really that in touch with my higher power. But I'll tell you this, Damon. And they all say, the other woman goes, Damien. Oh, I didn't mean to say Damien. You're not the son of the devil. Yeah. I used to be a vodka drinker. Only in Long Island can you rhyme vodka and drinker. I used to be a vodka drinker.
Oh, my God.
And higher power. Higher power rhyme and vodka drinker rhyme.
Hmm. What else you got on Twitter?
Okay.
Anything else?
Dude, I wish I could remember more of what the people in the meeting say, because it's so funny. All right. Okay. To be honest, I'm a fuck far. This is from pizza delivery guy at Brooklyn Pete. And the picture is of an attractive girl with a cat. So I don't know if it's a guy or a girl or what. So he's a cute girl with a cat, Brooklyn Pete.
Okay.
You think it's a guy or a girl?
Let me see.
Looks like a girl.
Maybe the cat's Pete.
Yeah, maybe the cat's Brooklyn Pete. Anyway.
Maybe it's the cat's Paige.
Is there anything worse but a migraine at work? No, that's not what she says. She says, fuck me, man. Jesus Christ.
Just read any.
To be honest, I'm a fuck and far behind, but I love you guys. Maybe this will be a cool surprise if you say, hey, Brooklyn, what's up? Like, I'll randomly hear it when I finally catch up.
Hey, Brooklyn, what's up?
Hey, Brooklyn, what's up?
Is this a question or not?
IDK, man. I just realized you tweeted that at 6:20, so shit again. Ha, ha, ha. All right. Thanks, man. Oh, she does it again. Caitlin Ocean with another Peanuts tweet. All
right.
Would you say, I'm Charlie Brown and you're Linus, definitely.
All right, you got no questions? I got an email queued up.
Dave and Chris, this is Aunt Nikki from Boston. You know I love you guys, but I really do not like your new intro on Eps 119. It's too long. Sorry. When is a Dictionary Pod and Dopey Podcast going to do collaboration Eps?
Ooh, that's Megan.
That's Aunt Nikki Burton.
Yeah.
Aunt Nikki.
Yeah, that's Megan's
aunt. Nikki?
Yeah. Might not actually be her aunt. Or is her aunt.
When are we going to do a collaborative episode with Megan?
So, yeah, Megan, for the new Dopey Nation members tuning in, is she was on one of our episodes. She told the story about the person overdosing and calling the cops, and they drove him to the hospital, and right when they pulled up to the hospital, he woke up, and they left and turned their phones off. It was pretty wild. And anyway, she started her own podcast called The Addictionary. And should we just call her right now?
No.
Okay. All right, I'm going to read this voice memo.
Great.
I mean, I'm going to read this email.
You know what? I don't think so. Listen, that's not what you're going to do. See the time we're at?
Yeah.
We're going to do a review, and then we're going to end it.
No, I'm going to do this. This is short.
Okay,
short,
do
short,
it.
Short and sweet. All right, this is from John. We got so many we got to get through. We're so backlogged. I literally have, like, six voice memos.
And it's all because of you. You're such a disgusting person.
I literally got, like, six voice memos. What I do is I kind of lean to the left, and I let it out, you know, you can't hear it. This is from John. Subject is Dopey, Paranoia Through the People. Dave, you paying attention?
Uh-huh.
Stop fiddling on your laptop. Dear Chris and Dave.
Yes.
Let's just say my name is JW. I live in South Florida, and I'm still fighting a coke addiction.
No, oh, no.
I love the show. You guys have amazing chemistry.
We do.
I heard every episode. By far, favorite podcast.
Nice.
I will spare ripping your last guest, Amanda. I'm sure Dopey Nation has done a good job of that already. Like, literally, LOL. Anyway, I will say that I am more of a Dave fan just due to the generation gap. I'm 39.
That's rare.
I have kids, and I appreciate his music talent, so I relate more to Dave.
What's his name?
John.
Thanks, John. I appreciate that.
Chris is my second favorite out of two due to his people-pleasing personality, silver spoon upbringing, and horrible taste in music.
True.
However, shut up.
It's all true.
Just shut up.
John's right. Stop. He's on the money.
Peanut gallery over there. You get that reference? Because of peanuts?
Yeah, I got it.
However, Chris and I share the same coke obsession, except I snort. I love highway drinking. I will stand in front of a peephole for hours, and I always think there's a SWAT team quietly waiting outside the bathroom for me to come out. So we share the same paranoia tendencies. So I do have love for you, Chris.
Nice.
Speaking of peepholes, now hit them with the dopey. My thing is snorting coke, but I did have a short run with a synthetic street drug called Flaca. It's a stimulant similar to coke, but one tiny bump is probably equal to two huge rails of good coke. Very fine line between high and batshit crazy. I'm actually surprised you guys never mentioned it. So one day, I wanted to get high and was able to scrape up $40. I went to the hood to get a half G of Flock. I rushed home to get there before my family got there. I rarely get the house to myself, so this was exciting. I go and do my bathroom routine and take two nice bumps. Immediately, the paranoia kicks in. Checking outside every 30 seconds, seeing what cars are pulling up, seeing if there's any helicopters or drones, etc. Now, at this point, it's pouring rain, so there's also a lot of extra spooky background noises adding to my paranoia. Since I'm so paranoid, I figured the best thing to do is to go to the bathroom to take two more bumps. As I am taking the second bump, there is a loud pounding at the door. I run to the people to see who it was, and I see what appears to be an entire SWAT team. Red lights flashing, dogs, detectives with megaphones, raider trucks, the whole nine. I race to the bathroom and hesitantly flush all my shit and go into a panic. After a few minutes, I finally build up the courage to open the door and surrender. In reality, it was all a hallucination.
Wow.
I actually opened the door to my family, kids included, soaking wet and pissed I didn't open the door sooner. Seeing my wife was getting back from picking up her aunt from the airport, and because of the rain... See, my wife was getting back from picking up her aunt at the airport, and because of the rain, she backed up right to the front door to let my kids and her aunt in. When I looked out the peephole, there must have been a drop of water dripping down the hole, and that was warping what I was seeing. As she was backing up and she was stepping on and off the brakes, which to me was the warping drop of water, the warping drop of water looked like popo lights. The paranoia created the rest of the scene. I must have looked like a lunatic. Once I realized I was not being served with a search warrant, all I could think of was, fuck, I flushed my bag. 20 minutes later, I was back in the hood getting another bag. Hope you guys like the story, and hopefully it's good enough to read on the show. Got plenty more stories. Stay strong, Dopey Nation, and toodles. P.S. The way I got hooked on Flocka for that short period of time was that I thought I was buying coke and some scumbag dope boy sold me Flock, which I ended up getting hooked on. I thought it might be a good topic to talk about.
See, I don't know why you didn't save this for the next show.
It was pretty good. You know what I was thinking about? Like, this intense stimulant-induced paranoia.
Do you know about Flocka?
No.
Do you want to learn about it?
Tell me what the actual chemical name is.
Word on the street is that Flocka, also called gravel or Flocka,
or Flock,
is a combination of heroin and crack, or heroin and methamphetamines. But in reality, Flocka is just a newer generation version of bath salts. Bath salts in general are synthetic psychoactive drugs made in large quantities in foreign drug labs. These drugs are all related to a broader group of chemical compounds known as cathinones. Cathinones? Mm. Cathinones? No. You don't know?
I've seen that word before.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. This is the first thing I've ever seen you not know. Each time...
I never got into the stimulant bath salts.
Okay. You ever did bath salts?
I mean the stimulant research chemicals.
Do you ever do bath salts?
No.
I remember when we were in Mountainside, that was when the bath salt epidemic hit.
They came and interviewed it, and a guy that was in my group, he was a Marine, he ran away.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
And you remember they were eating each other's faces in Florida at the time?
Yeah.
Anyway, stay strong, Dopey Nation.
Okay. But wait, I want to comment something. So I was wondering, with that stimulant-induced paranoia, like, you know, the drones and the helicopters, like, that's all, like, what plays into that is, like, drugs are illegal and he's trying to hide it. Like, if you're just in, like, a super chill spot and the drugs aren't illegal, like, do you still get the same paranoia? Are you paranoid like people are trying to hurt you? Like, you know,
probably.
Is it different?
I would say probably. Short answer is no. Long answer is yes with the butt.
Yes, maybe.
I would say maybe. No,
you
I would think...
You gotta close out with the fucking ad.
You fucking cocksucker.
What?
I'm answering the question.
Yeah.
I would say...
There's this guy...
His name was Aleister Crowley.
Flock.
And he wrote a book called Diary of a Drug Fiend. And in the
Mr.
book...
Mr. Crowley.
In the book, Diary of a Drug Fiend, he supposes that if you have a place where a drug addict can go, and all of the drugs that they would ever want are available, that they would not be addicted.
Yeah. Well, remember, I always wanted to open those rehabs. The drug rehabs.
Well, that was
where
more
you
of
go
a,
check in to do drugs.
That was more of a resort. A resort.
Yeah, like a drug resort. And there's little nurses and everything. It's kind of like a needle exchange, except you pay them and they give you the drugs along with the needles.
It's nothing like a needle exchange.
Not a needle exchange. I mean a safe injection site.
It's like a resort.
Yeah, a resort. Exactly.
It's like a resort with free vending machines full of brand name drugs.
Cable television every room. Big flat screens.
Cable television everywhere. In every room.
Yeah.
But I would say that that Aleister Crowley, or as you like to call him.
Is that Mr. Crowley from the song?
Yes. Is wrong. And the reason he's wrong is because heroin is addictive. And if there's enough heroin to do, you're going to get fucking addicted to it physically. And the thing with the paranoia, I think that these drugs are paranoia-inducing drugs. Yeah. So you'll come up with something
you'll find
to be paranoid
something.
About if it's not the fucking cops.
Yeah, you'll find something.
And, I appreciate that guy enjoying me on Jopie. It's very nice. Makes me feel
That's good. All you heard. But you did notice when he emailed us, he said, "Dear Chris and Dave."
He also said Toodles.
Dave gets very mad.
He also said Toodles.
He used my name first.
Well, you know, I have problems.
It bothers you.
I know. It doesn't bother
you. You told me you don't even read the email. If it says, "Dear Chris and Dave."
"Dear Chris, I'm not reading." I guess this is for Chris. No. It's just it's part of my own mental illness. You know, and I do not, I'm not proud of this. But it doesn't bother me.
You just want everyone to be all over your nuts every time, tickling your balls.
you know, so do you. You jerk off.
What do you mean? Isn't that true?
Yes, you do.
You think so?
I know so. Please. I know so. Anyway, stay strong.
Wait, you got to do the ad. Are we doing it twice or something?
Yeah, that's real value.
Yeah.
That's real value.
Extra mile.
It's real value.
Work It Clinic.
What else could we fucking be promoting?
Work It Clinic.
What else could we make money
from? We just did a free plug for a dictionary.
We did a dictionary. We did Flocka.
Flock. I like it when he shortens to Flock.
Flock?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Read it.
This episode is brought to you by Work It Clinic, now open in California and Michigan. Get treatment from your living room. Work It Clinic provides online counseling, online evidence-based lessons that help you live without drugs and medication-assisted treatment like
Suboxone
when needed,
buprenorphine and naloxone,
and methadone. Methadone. Your Work It program can be done together with the 12 steps or as a standalone solution. Get help at home. Visit workithealth.com/dopey. That's workithealth.com/dopey. I think you get a discount if you say that Chris sent you.
Alrighty.
Now, to sign up or just to get more information, again, that's
workithealth/dopey.
No, it is not. It's not that. workithealth.com/dopey. Thank you.
Is it workithealth.com?
Yes, cocksucker. It's workithealth.com/dopey. It's just a slash, you stupid fucking idiot.
Sure?
I think so.
You don't know for sure.
Do you know the difference between a slash and a backslash?
I thought they were all backslashes, but
look,
somebody has
there's,
to
this
tell
is
us.
A slash,
yeah.
And then this is a backslash, and I think it's a slash.
Okay.
Listen, if you guys know the difference, for some reason, we're getting a lot of downloads, but the reviews are not coming the way I'd like
well,
to see
Well, we've had
them.
Like 2-day, you know, stall and some reviews. And
you need reviews.
We need them.
Yes. Stay strong, my brethren.
My sister. Brothers and sisters in and out of recovery.
Oh, you know what I hate? I hate watching Chris communicate with the Dopey Nation because he goes, "Hey, brother, how you feeling out there, brother?"
You can really read that into what I type.
I just see brother and I'm like, oh, yay.
I call you brother, don't I?
No.
Do I ever call you brother?
No.
I don't see you and say, "Hey, brother."
You're, "Hey, brother." Anyway, leave a review. Join us in the Twitter group. Be nice.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Yeah, follow us on
Facebook.
Facebook. We got Reddit too, man. Reddit's popping like it's hot. And supposedly,
yes,
the store
yes.
is working. So go to dopeypodcast.com.
Can I tell you what I'm going to do?
And
can I tell you what I'm going to do?
What?
After the show?
Yeah.
I'm going to buy myself a hoodie.
A hoodie?
Yeah.
It's a little late for a hoodie.
Why?
It's getting warm out there.
I think I can get it in a week.
Yeah?
Yeah. But you know what? I'm embarrassed to wear it.
Yeah. Why?
Because I don't want my daughter to be like, "Oh, Daddy, look dopey."
Yeah, I wouldn't wear that thing.
You wouldn't wear a dopey hoodie?
Probably not. I feel like people might get offended by it.
Why?
I also got to protect my anonymity.
You know what I want to make?
They might see it and say, "Are you Chris from Dopey?"
Why would they say that?
I don't know.
You know what I would really like? You know those jackets that are kind of shiny and thin? Like camp jackets? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like windbreakers, kind of.
Right, but they have like a little collar and snaps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want that with just the dopey head.
That way, if you also, or if you say dopey.
Shut the fuck up. I want it like this.
No, you could wear that with dopey, and then if your daughter is coming, you could rip it off real quick and she wouldn't know.
You're an ass. Just listen. This is what I want. Any, I don't even think Alana listens anymore. I think she's just like the art director. She stopped listening.
Yeah.
But I want the front just to have the dopey head here. And on the back, it says dopey.
There you go.
Would you wear that?
Yeah, I might wear that.
Yeah?
I want pants, too, where you can rip off.
The breakaway pants?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Stay strong, my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Say something.
I said yes.
You say goodbye.
I said goodbye.
Say goodbye again.
Goodbye.
Toodles.
I want to take a walk around the world. I wonder would it do me any good. Until I get some money in my pocket, then I guess I'll just have to walk around my neighborhood. But I want to be good so bad. Want to be so good, so bad, so bad. I want to be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. And I want to take a ride up in the sky. Watch the airplane just pass me by. And I want to see a Lear jetliner take a dive. Just to show all of these people what it means to be alive. But I want to be good so bad. Want to be so good, so bad, so bad. I want to be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. And my shadow's getting smaller and smaller. And it's time to where I stand. Shadow's getting smaller and smaller. And it's high noon where I stand. And I wonder would they pay it any mind when I leave this busted city far behind. I'll take the high road however far it winds, because peace and love are very, very, very hard to find. And I wanna be good so bad. Wanna be good so bad, so bad. Wanna be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. Damn it, all these suckers make me mad. And it's all I ever had. And it's all I ever had. And these suckers make me mad. And I wanna call my dad. And it's all I ever had. 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 And these suckers make me mad. And it's all I ever had. And I wanna call my dad. And it's all I ever had.